إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء أنتم إلا تكذبون قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to welcome you all to our fourth night here for the commemoration of the 10 nights of Ashura. We are blessed with Sayyid Ali Jafri who has been here since the first night, of course, and alhamdulillah, the topic that he has covered over the past few nights is the fall of the great. Or the fall of the greats. And alhamdulillah, personally, I know I've been enjoying it. I know feedback we've gotten from a lot of people is, alhamdulillah, it's been very engaging and it's getting us to think about ourselves in a different light. So alhamdulillah, if for those of you that haven't attended yet, that is a quick background on where we are. Before we start there, I'm gonna ask everyone to, we'll recite a Fatiha, but when you recite the Fatiha, please remember those that sponsored the Tabaruk, the dinner for tonight, and their families. Remember them, their families, and their marhumin. And there's also someone whose grandson is having eye surgery in Iran tomorrow. So also remember him in your du'as. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين. We will be having programs here through the night of Ashura. The day of Ashura program will be at the Anaheim Community Center, and then we'll be back that night, and we'll be going for 12 nights, inshallah. One other announcement I had, I know someone asked me earlier how to get signed up for our email list and find out the programs that we have throughout the year. So if you aren't signed up and you want to sign up, go to our website, yasined.org, and there you will be able to, at the bottom, there's a place for you to add your name and your email, and you will find out about all our programs throughout the year. If you can all welcome me in welcoming Sayyid Ali with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. All right, I'm gonna ask everyone to move forward as we have every night. And on the ladies' side as well. We have new mats all the way at the front, so you can join there as well.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين Tahirin. Amma ba'd, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jamian wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaika ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fana'ik. Alaykum minni jamian salamullahi abadan. Ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layla wa al-nahar. Wa la ja'alahu Allahu akhir al-ahd minni li ziyaratikum. Assalamu ala al-Husayn. وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters, we are gathered in these nights to remember Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, to attach our hearts to the caravan of lovers in Karbala. What we've been discussing in particular is the fall of the elite, meaning the spiritual fall of those who at one point in time were the best of the best. And we're doing this not so we can point fingers at other people, not so that we can sit back on our high horses and say, well, look at that guy, look what he did. No, we're doing this so we can take a look inside, within ourselves, to better understand ourselves, to better appreciate ourselves, and to ensure that we don't make those same mistakes going forward. Because like we said, if you know your friend failed the test, but you don't go and study, but you don't go and learn the lessons from his failure, there's no value. And what we've been focusing on these first few nights, and tonight will be the last night where we're focusing on this topic in particular, is the Battle of Jama. We talked about how there were two individuals who, because they didn't go to the battle of, excuse me, because they were involved in the Battle of Jamal, it was a spiritual fall for them. And then yesterday we discussed an individual who didn't attend the Battle of Jamal, and we said that that was his spiritual fall. And today we are going to discuss one more individual who similarly did not participate in the Battle of Jamal. And that is Usama bin Zayd. Usama bin Zayd. Now, to fully understand and appreciate the story of Usama bin Zayd, because remember, for each of these individuals, we're doing three things. Okay, number one, we're going to ask, who was he? Number two, we're going to say, what did he do? And number three, we're going to say, what? Why did he fall? See, I told you I was going to quiz you, but alhamdulillah, was, you know, voluntary participation, alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali. Now, with Usama bin Zayd, before we can fully appreciate who Usama was, we have to look at who Zayd was. Who was his father? Okay. So the story of Zayd, brothers and sisters, starts with a kidnapping. Okay, Zayd was a small child with his family, and he was kidnapped. He was taken away. Okay, and he ended up being enslaved and sold to a relative of Bibi Khadija. Okay, the story in some ways reminds me of Prophet Yusuf. He sold to a relative of Bibi Khadija and then gifted to Bibi Khadija. And Bibi Khadija in turn gifts Zayd to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of marriage. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali. And the Holy Prophet frees Zayd and begins to treat him like a son. Okay? So much so that at some point Zayd's family realizes where he is. And they're like, "Hey, we figured it out. There he's over there in Mecca." They travel a long distance. They meet Zayd. They say, "Zayd, we found you." Zayd says to them, he says, "Look, I've missed you tremendously. I love you tremendously. But with all due respect, I found the best of creation. I'm not going anywhere." Okay? And so from that point on, for some time, he was known as, instead of Zayd the son of Harith, he was known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. Okay, because of his close relationship to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Zayd was a skilled archer. And because of that, he was heavily involved in the battles alongside the Holy Prophet, just like some of these other individuals that we've mentioned. And he's known for his bravery in these battles. And just like those individuals we mentioned in the last few days, he was one of the earliest Muslims. Again, we're talking about someone who, according to some sources, was one of the first 10 Muslims. Right? So if we're talking about the first 10 Muslims, we've mentioned now Talha, Zubair, Sa'ad, Imam Ali, of course. And now we're seeing Zayd, another one of them. Right? We've gotten about 5 of them there, according to some of the sources. Okay, so we see Zayd was there right from the start, very close to the Holy Prophet, someone that the Prophet considered like a son, raised him like a son. One of the really interesting points about Zayd is that of all the companions, he is the only one mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. SubhanAllah. That's quite a honor, right? Gives us a little inclination into who Zayd was. So the two verses are Surah Ahzab, verses 36 and 37. The first verse says as follows: وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَارًا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. So his name is mentioned in the next verse. First, I'm going to explain this verse a little bit. So what's going on here? One of the very well-known discussions around Zayd is his marriage. Okay, his marriage. Why? Because his marriage was used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet as a teaching tool for the society. Okay, when we, brothers and sisters, want to do away with bad cultures and do away with bad traditions, it needs to be done with action. Okay, last night I came up here and let's say I spoke about the importance of, you know, helping out the brothers and sisters who, you know, accept Islam. Right? It's not enough if we just talk about it. Right? We got to be about it. Okay? So this was the situation with this marriage. During the time, just as unfortunately we see still today, often there's difficulties in getting married across social classes or from people from different, you know, walks of life. The Holy Prophet was trying to display, by way of this particular marriage, that Islam does not ascribe to such ignorance, right? That no one is better than another except for their taqwa, their God consciousness. Doesn't matter how much money you have, Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter what country you're from. Okay? So what happened was that there was a very good sister in the Prophet's family named Zainab. Okay? And his extended family. And so the Prophet suggested Zayd for Zainab. And here, there was some hesitation on the parts of some for various reasons. One of them, perhaps, being this difference in social status. One being from a well-known family, one being someone who was a freed slave. But alhamdulillah, the Holy Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did away with these practices. And inshallah, we follow in their footsteps, in that follow that sunnah. So what this verse was saying is that وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنْ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَرًا. He says, it's not for a mu'min or a mu'mina, a male or a female Muslim believer, that when Allah and His Prophet have decided something, that you have a position on that thing, right? So Allah and His Prophet decide that Amir al-Mu'mineen should be the leader after the Holy Prophet. Do we have, is there space for us to come and be like, well, I'm not sure about that, right? Or Fajr is, Salat al-Subh is 2 rak'ah. Do we say, well, let me think about that, you see? So in this situation, what's being said is that Allah has decided that this relationship is blessed, that this type of marriage is blessed, and that there's no place for us to come and stand in front of it, okay? It says that the one who وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And the one who goes against this, right, the one who doesn't obey Allah and His Prophet, they've surely become extremely astray. They've fallen way off the path. Okay, so this is the first verse. But now the second verse, verse 37, okay? I'm just going to read the English here, and for the sake of time, go through the English. And now, so what happens? Now what happens is that brothers and sisters, they get married. Okay, alhamdulillah. Zainab and Zayd get married. Remember, we're talking about Zayd, the father of Osama. Zainab and Zayd get married, and they start to experience some marital problems. Okay, for whatever the reasons were, they start to experience some marital problems. Okay, and now we're going to look at this verse, verse 33, 37. It says, "And when you said to him who Allah had blessed and whom you too had blessed," meaning the Zayd, what did the Holy Prophet say to him? "Retain your wife for yourself and be wary of Allah." Okay, we're going to go through this a little bit carefully here. There's a lot of lessons in this for those of us who are married, those of us who want to be married, inshallah. Okay, those of us who are divorced, who want to be remarried, there's lessons in this verse. So the Holy Prophet's marital advice is what? He says, and be wary of Allah. وَاتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Okay, brothers and sisters, one of the problems that we see in a lot of our marriages is that we have placed ourselves at the top of the marriage rather than placing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the top of the marriage. It's about what I say. It's about my way. Whereas if we both, men and women, put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the top of the marriage, hey look, we might not agree on everything, but let's see, what is it that Allah says in this situation? Right? Let's ask somebody more knowledgeable than us, for example. How many times have I seen situations where the men don't want to go to marriage counseling? You know, the sisters will come and they'll tell me, you know, we really need help, but he doesn't want to come. You see, this is us putting ourselves at the top of the marriage, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not putting the marriage first. Not putting Allah first in the marriage. Okay, so this was the first advice. Right, when Imam Hassan alayhi salam advised who you should give your daughters to, he said, give your daughters to someone with taqwa. Why? Because even if they aren't always in love, they will never be mistreated. Right? Even if he doesn't always love her the same, right, he will never mistreat her. This is very important, brothers and sisters. We have to make sure that we're making good decisions when it comes to spouse selection. Okay, so he says, the Holy Prophet says, retain your wife for yourself and be wary of Allah. Okay, and then it says, and you had hidden in your heart what Allah was to divulge, okay? And you feared the people, or it says you feared for the people, according to Allama Tabatabai, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is worthier to be feared, okay? And I'll finish the verse and then we'll explain it. So when Zayd had got through with her, we wedded her to you, so that there be no blame on the faithful in respect to the wives of their adopted sons, when the latter have gotten through with them. And Allah's command is bound to be fulfilled. Okay, so what was happening here? What happened here was that they ended up getting a divorce. Okay? Before I continue the story, I want to just discuss this issue of divorce very briefly. Brothers and sisters, there is a stigma, unfortunately, in our society, in our communities, vis-a-vis divorce. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that of all the things that are jaiz, that of all the things that are permissible, divorce is that which shakes the throne of Allah. It's not something that He likes, right? But it's still something that's permissible. Just because someone goes through a divorce doesn't mean they're a bad person. Might have been two great people who did everything that they could, right? We can't be those types of communities and those types of people where someone gets a divorce and then, you know, the quote aunties are, you know, speaking about them, the brothers are speaking about him, so on and so forth, right? That is not the way, that is not the path of, that's not the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Look what happens in this story, brothers and sisters. We see that both of these people had very good endings, okay? So what happened was that the Holy Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knew now that Allah has commanded him now to take Zainab as a wife. And why was this difficult? Because at the time, the idea of adoption was similar to that idea of adoption that sometimes people have here, let's say in a Western society, okay? Which is that, okay, this is like his real son. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to show through this was that, look, we don't have that same understanding of adoption. Right, we don't have that same understanding of mahramiya, okay, of someone being mahram or non-mahram, that when you adopt them, that now, you know, they're mahram and so on and so forth. Okay, we don't have that same understanding. Thus, when your adopted son gets divorced, it's okay for someone to remarry. For the father, for example, in this situation, to remarry, for the one who was like the adopted father. Okay. Now, why was the Holy Prophet struggling with this? It wasn't that he feared the people. Allah Ta'ala says in Tafsir al-Mizan that it was because he feared for the people. Right? If you know the people's minds or their cultural understanding, they don't have the readiness, right, to hear certain things, you might be hesitant because you might say that, hey, look, if I mention right now X, Y, and Z things, it might become an obstacle to the people's guidance. And this is what the Holy Prophet was concerned about. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is that don't worry about that. You do your responsibility, we will worry about the people's guidance. Okay? Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Brothers and sisters, like, we got to be careful here. I was once outside of work. I was working at a courthouse in downtown Houston. Okay? And I came outside of work, and somebody's putting something in my car, okay? You know how they put leaflets in your cars, usually for like something haram or, you know? Okay, so he's putting something in my, you know, car windshield, and I'm like, okay, you know, how you doing? What's going on? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, I just wanted to give you this pamphlet. I look at it, and it's a comic book, okay? So I'm like, okay, what's this comic book about? I start to flip through the pages, and it's the story of the marriage of the Holy Prophet to Zainab. And I'm just like, what is going on? Brothers and sisters, our youth are in danger living in a non-Muslim society, living out here. We have to be on our toes. If we're not discussing the difficult issues, if we are not answering the questions, if we are not able to satiate them intellectually, spiritually, right, emotionally, we're going to run into problems. We've already seen it with the past generation. Okay, so this issue is one of those issues that you often see non-Muslims bring up. Why? Because there's some ahadith that even our brothers and sisters from Ahl Sunnah don't believe are authentic. They themselves will say these are wrong, but they exist in some of their books that paint not a good picture. Doesn't paint a good picture about this story, right? And so we have to come out and explain the real story. Right, so that people aren't misguided. And so we see that the Holy Prophet, he weds Zainab. And this is the beautiful thing. When we talked about doing away with the stigma around divorcees, look at this example of the Holy Prophet. Did Zainab sit around in the community for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years? Right? Did we see Zayd not get remarried? No, they both got remarried. And we see that because of Zainab's pureness and going through this test, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wed her to the best of creation. And we see that Zayd, because of his good character and because of his sincerity, what happens? The Holy Prophet makes him a commander in the Battle of Mut'a, okay, where Ja'far al-Tayyar and Zayd lead a battle basically against the Romans. Why? What was happening was that the Holy Prophet sent a messenger to the Romans and they killed the messenger. So now the Holy Prophet sends out this expedition. Ja'far al-Tayyar becomes Ja'far al-Tayyar. He's shaheed. And as does who? Zayd. So brothers and sisters, we see here two divorcees. One of them ends up marrying the Holy Prophet. One of them ends up a shaheed. Right? We have to change our understanding, the way that the Western society has painted this picture around divorce and around some of these issues. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Okay, so now that we've understood who Zayd was, we're going to briefly go through who was Usama. Okay, so when Zayd gets remarried, right, he has a child named Usama. And because of the Holy Prophet's close relationship with Zayd, that he was like a son to him, Usama becomes like a grandson to the Holy Prophet. So before Imam Hassan was even born, Usama is seen on the shoulders of the Holy Prophet. Right? When the Holy Prophet goes and meets those people coming back from the Battle of Badr, who was on his shoulders? It was Usama. When he says, congratulations to those of you who have completed the small jihad and now you're going to start the big jihad. And they said, mal jihad al-akbar. And he said, jihad al-nafs. Right? The jihad, the struggle against your soul. So this was Osama. It says that Osama, he participated in some of those early battles, the Battle of Khandaq. He showed his bravery just like his father. When the Holy Prophet went for the conquest of Mecca, it says this was the only time that the Holy Prophet ever prayed inside the Kaaba. And we have a tradition in Bihar al-Anwar from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says that the one who was with the Holy Prophet when he prayed these two rakat in the Kaaba was who? Usama bin Zayd. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal. Okay, so we see the closeness of Usama to the Holy Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, what we often know about Usama as Shia is the whole issue of the army of Osama, which was that at the end of the Holy Prophet's life, when he wanted it to be a smooth transition to the leadership of Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he had Osama lead an army to go where? To go and finish what he was trying to accomplish, what Zayd was trying to accomplish, right? Which was to secure the outskirts of Medina. So he said, everyone needs to go into the army of Osama. Okay, and you all know the story of who went, who didn't go, what happened. But basically we see that Amir al-Mu'mineen was with the Holy Prophet, and Osama was on the outskirts getting ready to go. People heard that the Holy Messenger was very ill, and they started to leave the army of Osama. And this is something that upset the Holy Prophet, right? And there's a lot of details here that I'm not going to go into. Okay, but now the Holy Prophet passes away. What happens at Saqifah happens at Saqifah. And we see that Osama is now instructed by the first Khalif to go and complete that mission that the Holy Prophet had asked him to complete. And here in history, it's reported that Osama says that I'm being commanded to go and finish a job by someone who was under my command. Just recently, right? So eventually Osama does do this. During the time of the Khulafa, what happens? We see that Osama is tested just like the individuals we spoke about yesterday and day before with what? With increased wealth, with increased prestige because of his military victories. Okay, and this is again where he was tested. And so now we're done with the section on who he was. Now what did he do? Brothers and sisters, let's take ourselves back to the year now. of 35, where the Battle of Jamal takes place. Imam Ali is in power. Talha and Zubair did what we talked about a few days ago. Sa'd did what he talked about, what we talked about yesterday. And now the test comes to Osama. Okay, after all these years, someone who prayed with the Holy Prophet in the Kaaba. Okay, and what does he say to Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says to him, he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, send me my portions. Keep that same salary for me, and I will follow you into the mouth of a lion. I got your back everywhere. But again, you see, it's conditional, brothers and sisters. You see, what does the Imam Ali say? He says the same thing. He says, هذا المال لمن جاهد عليه. He says, this money, Bayt al-Mal, is for those who have fought for it. It's for the people. It's the people's money. It's not my personal money. But he says, ولكن هذا المال لي. This is my money. بالمدينة, in Medina, I have my own money. And then he says, take it, take from it whatever you want. Meaning that if you really need money, I got you. Okay? What happens is that just like some of those other individuals, according to some, Sa'd also didn't do bayah right away. Osama doesn't do bayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay, according to some, initially. But what he does do is that he openly criticizes the Battle of Jamal. Okay, and this is where it gets complicated. Remember, we don't want to look at it as bad guy, good guy, right? We want to look at it as people making decisions. Were they the right decisions? Were they the wrong decisions? But they were real people. What had happened, brothers and sisters, was that once Osama was in battle, okay, during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, he was about to finish somebody off when the individual takes the shahada, shahadu an la ilaha illallah, wa shahadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay. Now Osama's like, okay, what do I do? Finish him off, don't finish him off. He finishes him off. He comes back and he tells the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet says, did you look into his heart to know if what he was saying was true or false? Okay. So when this Battle of Jamal is starting, Osama has this in his mind. Now, only he knows how much of a role that played and how much of a role this statement that he made where, hey, just give me my portions and I got your back, played. All right? We're not here to judge that. Okay, but it's complicated, like I'm saying. Okay, so he doesn't participate in the battles and he doesn't participate in any of those battles. In any of the battles of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why did he fall? Right? Was it just because of the money? Sheikh Mufid, in his book on the Battle of Jamal, he mentions something interesting where he says that Osama did not like the idea that he was divested of the false standing he had been granted. You see, one of the things that happened was because he led this army that the Prophet had put him in charge of, he had gained a lot of prestige and standing. And so when Imam Ali came to power, and that standing didn't necessarily, you know, stay at that same level, according to Sheikh Mufid, this is one of the things that bothered him. But again, Allah knows best. Brothers and sisters, one of the good things about tonight, and what about the beautiful things when we're going to look at the lessons now from Osama's life, is that this story has a happy ending. Okay, unlike some of the ones that we looked at the last few nights, where it wasn't as clear, this story, it seems like, has a happy ending. But before we get to that, I want us to reflect, brothers and sisters, tonight on this question, which is, how did the Ahlul Bayt treat someone who falls? Someone who has a spiritual fall, how do we treat them? For all these nights, we've been talking about ourselves, right? We've been saying, okay, I want to make sure that I'm not having a spiritual fall. But sometimes, it's the people around us who have a spiritual fall. It's my brother, it's my mother, it's my sister, it's my spouse, it's my friend, right? They were doing really well. They went through something, they took off their hijab. They went through something, they started drinking alcohol. They went through something, and they're involved in this or that haram thing. They're no longer praying. Whatever it might be, okay? It happens, we're seeing it all around us. How did the Ahlul Bayt treat individuals like that? How did they deal with individuals like that? Let's look at what happened with Osama. There's two stories that stuck out to me when I was looking at the history. One was that during the lifetime of Imam Hassan, after the wars of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Osama is being insulted and mocked by some of the Umayyas, the Umayyads. They're making fun of him. They're calling him the son of a slave. Right? His mother was a freed slave. Also, we talked about Zayd already. They were making fun of his skin color. Right? We've talked about this problem of racism. There's no place for it in Islam. And we see that who came to his defense was none other than Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So you see, Imam Hassan stands up for him. Yeah, you fell. Yeah, you didn't come to Jamal with us. Yeah, you didn't come to Siffin with us. Yeah, you didn't come to Nahwan with us. But guess what? When you need help, I got you. I'm still there for you. The door is always open. You never shut the door on somebody. You never give up on somebody. This was Ahlul Bayt. Another example is now we go to the deathbed of Osama. Okay? Osama is on his deathbed. Okay, and who comes into the room? Dakhala Hussein alayhi salam. Muhammad wa ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali. So this is a very good sign for Osama. Despite whatever mistakes he made in his life, we see he bounced back. Imam Hussein is coming into his room. Okay? Dakhala Hussein alayhi salam ala Osama wa huwa maridun. And he was sick. Osama was sick. Okay. وَهُوَ يَقُولْ وَغَمَّا. And he was very upset. He was worried about his problems. Okay. So what does Imam Hussein say to him? فَقَالَ لَهُ الْحُسَيْنِ وَمَا غَمُّكَ يَا أَخِي. SubhanAllah. Yeah. What's your problem? Why are you upset, my brother? My brother. You know, look, how often is it that, you know, the guys that we came up with in the masjid, they don't come to the masjid anymore. I've seen this all around America. The guys you came up with, you say, hey, where is, you know, age range of 20 to 30? Oh, they don't come anymore. 20 to 40, oh, they didn't come anymore. Well, why? Oh, they don't, you go and ask them, they're like, man, we don't feel comfortable coming to the masjid. We've made these mistakes. We've made 10 years of mistakes. Now we come, people look at us a certain way. The sister took off her hijab. Maybe she's got pictures up, whatever it is. Now she comes to the masjid, she's trying her best to come to the Azadari of Hussein. People are staring at her, they're talking behind her back. Brothers and sisters, who are we? Are we the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Are we the Shia of Hassanain? Right? Or are we making ourselves into idols? We think we're up on this pedestal. Right? What did Ayatollah Bahjat say? He says, it's not like Yazid and Muawiyah came from hell and you came from heaven. Okay? So we always have to leave the door open, no matter what somebody did. Can you think of somebody doing something worse than this to Imam Ali? The most difficult of times. He's coming and saying, this is a bid'ah. Battle against the Muslims? Are you kidding me? And we see Imam Hussein still is coming to his deathbed. Okay? He says that, what's your problem, my brother? And he says, Daini. He says, I have a loan. I'm in debt. I took out a loan. I'm in debt. I'm worried about this. And what does Imam Hussein say? He says, Huwa alayya. He says, I got you. Okay? And then Osama says, you know, I'm worried that it's not going to get paid before I die. You know, that I'll have to face, you know, in the grave, even one day in the grave, who knows how many tens of thousands of years that counts for. Right? He says, I'm worried it's not going to take care of you. Imam Hussein's like, don't worry about it. I got you. Before you die, I got you. See, this is the Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters. You see, brothers and sisters, but for someone to be Osama, you need a Hussein. For someone to be a Hur, you need a Hussein. If we want to see the Osamas and the Hurs, alayhumus salam, come back into the fold, we have to be Hussein. We have to have that open heart. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. What were the lessons that I took away from this? And of course, you all, I'm sure, can think of more and better lessons. Is number one, like we talked about, never give up on others. Number two, never give up on yourself. There was something within Osama that allowed him to come back. Right? A setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. Right? I heard a scholar say this once. It stuck with me. Right? A setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. Okay, it's okay. Look, you've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Right? But these are the nights where the doors to Allah's rahmah are open again. These are the nights where we have an opportunity to do that tawbah, to come back, to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. All I can bring with me is my actions to the grave. You are the only one that can clean those actions up for me, that can make it so these angels, like we say in Dua Kamil, that these angels don't even see those actions. Okay? So never give up on yourselves. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, it's okay. You're here. Right? You're here listening. You're here in person, wherever you are. The last lesson is that, brothers and sisters, our Imam never gives up on us. You see, Imam Hussein, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Mahdi, they don't give up on us. You know, there's this Salam Farmande song that everybody's singing, right? Inshallah, you guys are benefiting from it as well. Whatever language. So, in one of those lines, there's reference to Ali ibn Mahziyar. Okay, this is a beautiful line. If we really reflect on who Ali ibn Mahziyar is and was. Ali ibn Mahziyar, if this is the Ali ibn, because there were a few Ali ibn Mahziyar, but if it's the one that's being referred to here, which I'm thinking that it probably is, he was someone who, for 20 years, he went to Hajj with one wish, which was to meet Imam Mahdi. And for 20 years, he came back without his wish fulfilled. You see, he was ready to give up. He said, this year I'm not going. There's something wrong with me. He understood that if we're not seeing the Imam, if we're not meeting the Imam, if we're not spiritually close to the Imam, either it's not good for us or there's something wrong with us. Those are the only two reasons. Maybe we're doing everything right. It might not be khair for us. But more often than not, it's there's something wrong with us. Finally, after 20 years, he decides, I'm not going to go. And that's when the Imam sends him a message. He says, come. He comes, he meets the Imam. When he meets the Imam tells him, what does he say? He says, I've been looking for you. He says, I've been waiting for you. I've been looking for you. What does the Imam say? He says, I've been waiting for you. He says, I've been waiting for you, Ali ibn Mahziyar. And then he says, what do you mean? I had no way to find you. See, brothers and sisters, we don't need to find the Imam. The Imam will find you. He's already found some of us. He's already found you in your own way. That's why you're here tonight. Imam looks at him. He says, Ali ibn Mahziyar, is it really that you didn't have a way? Or is it because... And he mentions three things. That, you know, one of those things was how you were to the weak believers. You know, there's two others that I don't want to state them incorrectly. It's a whole other speech we would have to go to really open those up. But he mentions the reasons. So our Imam never gives up on us. You know, and I was thinking about this just on the drive over here, that, you know, when my son Muhammad Hussein was about 2 years old, you know, I remember we were in the Masjid of Jamkaran. We live around 10 minutes away from Jamkaran. Okay. And he was chasing around these birds. Okay. He chased a bird and the bird flew away. He chased another bird, the bird flew away. He kept chasing the birds. No matter how many times he didn't reach it, he never got tired of it. Brothers and sisters, that has to be us when it comes to knocking on the door of our imam. Never get tired. You keep working on yourself. Eventually, you're going to catch it. If not in this world, then in the next. But there'll be a day where the imam of the time, he embraces you. He tells you that he's proud of you. He's going to say thank you for coming back. Thank you for not giving up on yourself. Thank you for doing tawbah that one more time. Thank you for sacrificing for my cause. Thank you for not giving in to sin when it was so easy to do so. Right, this is the imams of the Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters. And this was the story of Hur. See, one of the things that helped Hur, and one of the things that we are trying to put into the hearts of our children through these majalis, into our own hearts through these majalis, is the love of the Ahlul Bayt. Hur says that, you know, Sheikh Saduq reports this in his book, one of his books, that when Hur got the command from Ibn Ziyad that said, hey, look, you have to go and stop Hussein. When he got that command, he left his house and he said that I heard something. I heard three times the following statement said. It said, glad tidings of heaven. We give you glad tidings of heaven. We give you glad tidings of heaven. He said, I thought to myself, I am going to go to stop the son of the messenger of God. Why am I getting glad tidings of heaven? You see, even there he had the ma'rifah. He understood what he was doing. He felt bad about what he was doing. We see it again when he meets Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where Imam Hussein says to him, when he gets stopped by Hur and surrounded by the soldiers of Hur, he says, may your mother mourn for you. And Hur says that if your mother was anyone but Fatima al-Zahra, I would have responded in kind. I would have said the same thing back. But he didn't say the same thing back. See, brothers and sisters, this love of the Ahlul Bayt, this love of Imam al-Hussein, it can save us. It can help us. It can stop us from sinning. But Hur made that mistake. He made the mistake of stopping Imam Hussein. And he said to Imam Hussein, imagine, brothers and sisters, this is Hur just a few weeks before his death, a few days before his death. He says, oh Hussein, I remind you of God. If you fight, you will surely be killed. He's trying to scare Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein says, you scare me with death? He says, I shall go. I shall die, perhaps. Noble souls have no shame of demise. If they go for the truth and with submission, they rise. You see, Imam Hussein was rising because of his submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no shame in that. If we are like Imam Hussein, if we're doing the right thing, whatever happens, it's okay. We get divorced, our children are killed, whatever comes, it's okay. As long as we are on the right path, as long as we're doing our duties, brothers and sisters, in life, challenges are going to come, tests are going to come. Brothers and sisters, Hur realized in those last few moments, those last few days perhaps, something that many of us don't realize, which is that you can't be on both sides of the fence. You can't love haram and at the same time think that that love of Ali Muhammad is going to be preserved. And so Hur stood, standing, staring out into the battlefield. He asks Umar ibn Sa'd, he says, are you really going to fight this man? Up until that moment, he really didn't think it was actually going to happen. He's there on Ashura. But he really thought that, hey, look, they're going to reach a conclusion. They're going to reach some sort of agreement. And Umar ibn Sa'd says, he says, the least will be that the heads roll and the arms are chopped. That will be the least of it. Hur says, somebody looks at him, they say, Hur, you're one of the bravest of the people of Kufa. What's going on? We see that you're turning a little bit of pale. He says, Inni wallah ukhayyiru nafsi bayna al-jannah wan-nar. He says, I see myself between heaven and hell. Isn't this all of us, brothers and sisters, every day? Wa wallahi la akhtaru ala al-jannah shay'a. He says, and I swear by God, I will not put anything in front of heaven, even if they cut me to pieces and they burn me. And this has to be us. All of us can be Hur, brothers and sisters. Reflect on your own selves for a moment. Haven't each of us done something that we're ashamed of? Haven't each of us done something that if our families found out, if our loved ones found out, they would never look at us the same? Haven't each of us done something perhaps worse than Hur? Well, this is our chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers those sins. He gives us another opportunity. We're here tonight. We ask Allah, Allah, don't allow us to leave this place without forgiving those sins. On the day of resurrection, clean slate. None of that ever happened. Nobody knows but us and Allah. Allah satir al-ayub. It's easy for him, brothers and sisters. Hur ties his hands. He takes off running. He ties his hands. He admits his guilt. He goes towards Imam Hussein in the camp of Imam Hussein. And he asks a question that, brothers and sisters, we all ask tonight. He says to Imam Hussein, "Fahalli min tawba?" For me, is there forgiveness? He says that I've scared the children of Fatima. And Imam Hussein, he says to him, Naam, irfa ra'suk. He says, yes, raise your head. This is what we want from our Imam, the Imam of our time tonight. We say, oh Imam of our time, we've come to you. Hallana tawba. Is there tawba for us? Ya Mahdi. Oh Mahdi, just like your father, Imam Hussein, please tell us the same thing. Tell us to raise our heads. Tell us, يَطُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَكْفِرُكْ لَكْ. That Allah forgives you. That Allah has turned back to you. That Allah has given His attention back to you. This is what we want from this night, brothers and sisters. So Hur, he goes into the battlefield with the permission of the Imam. He fights valiantly. He calls other people to the truth. It doesn't matter to him how he looks. It doesn't matter to him what his reputation was. It doesn't matter to him that he's in the clothes of the army of Yazid. What matters to him is where his heart was. He fights valiantly until we see that there was nothing left but the final honor, which was Shahada. They say they brought the body of Hur back to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. He wiped his face and he said to him, Anta hurrun kama sammaytuka ummuk. He says, you are free like your mother named you. Wa anta hurru fi dunya wa anta hurru fi al-akhira. Wa say'alamu alladhina zalamu ayyuman qalaman yanqalibun. Baka ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, bi Muhammadin, bi Ali, bi Fatim, bi Hassan, bi Hussein. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of the blood of Hur, ibn Yazid al-Ri'ai, that you forgive our parents, you forgive our teachers, you forgive us for all our sins. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of the pure blood of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, that you keep us, that you keep our children on the right path until our final breaths. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to make us his helpers when he comes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marhaba, 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 marhaba. Hur-e-Bedriyai, aaja mere bhai. Hur-e-Bene Riyahi, aaja mere bhai. Hur-e raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Hur-e raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Mehman ko hamare, mehman ko hamare, khayme mein leke aao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Khud yaad hoga usko, pani tha usne roka. Khudar wo bahut hai, sharminda humse hoga. Pyaase hai sare bache, usko na ye batao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Dekho wo chal raha hai, maidan ladkada kar. Girne se pehle Akbar, usko sambhalo jaakar. Ae mere shahzade, jaldi kadam badhao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Abbas apne dil se har baat saaf kar do. Ma Fatima ke sadke hur ko muaf kar do. Ja kar alam ke usko saaye mein leke aao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Hurya raha hai Akbar, sine use lagao. Beta Hussain kehdi, kaise kisi ko dekhe. Meri taraf se kholo, tum uske haath jaake. Baba khafa nahi hai, ja kar usse batao, hurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao, hurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao. Tum se bhi pehle marne jayega uska beta, ji bhar ke dekh le wo apne pisar ka chehra. Kam waqt reh gaya hai, ja kar usse batao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao. Tha hashr ye kareemi, sab yaad hi rakhenge, mehman ka paseena khud saaf hum karenge. Feza hamari maa ka rumaal leke aao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao. Mehman ko hamare, mehman ko hamare khaybe mein leke aao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao, ghurya raha hai akbar, seene usse lagao.
Brothers and sisters, let's stand up for Latmiya and form the lines, please. زينب في الطفوف تنادي، يا ابن أمي صدعت فؤادي. زينب في الطفوف تنادي، يا ابن أمي صدعت فؤادي. وحسينا 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 وحسينا. ليتني مت قبل الحسين، فوقد كان إنسان عيني. ردت الخيل منه ضلوعا، وأخوه قطيع اليدين. يا له منظرا من رآه، يسكب الدمع في المقلتين. ليت عيني ما رأت فعل الأعادي، بإمام جده خير العباد. زينب في الطفوف تنادي، يا ابن أمي صدعت فؤادي. زينب في الطفوف تنادي، يا ابن أمي صدعت فؤادي. وحسينا
وحسينا وحسينا وحسينا.
يا أخي من يعين اليتامى بعدما فقدوك إماما إن لي مهجة تتلظى إن لي مقلة لن تناما كنت أحيا بعز ولكن بعدك العيش أمسى ظلاما لم أجد بعدك في الدهر مرادي كنت ركن القلب فانهد عمادي زينب في الطفوف تنادي يا ابن أمي صدعت فؤادي
زينب في الطفوف تنادي يا ابن أمي صدعت
فؤادي وحسينا من سيحمي عيال النبي من جيوش الزنيم الغوي إن أحاطت جيوش الأعادي وتمادت خيول الدعي أمة السوء لا نلت عزا بعد قاتل الحسين الأبي يا ابن أمي لو ترى حال الصغار شردوا بعدك في كل البراري زينب في الطفوف تنادي
What shall I do? Every day I am faced with the same task. What shall I do? Every day I am faced with the same task. Where shall I go? In my heart I know which path is the best. All that I've done in the past has caught up to me at last. All that I've done in the past has caught up to me at last. Help me to find my way back. Your mercy is so greatly vast. O protector of my honor, before you I was a goner. By your side I am now calmer. Tell your sister I'll die for her. Ya Safina Tan Najat, accept me. 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 I was naive, they told me this was all temporary. I wish I could go back and undo all the misery. If I knew where I would be, the price to join their army. If I knew where I would be, the price to join their army, I would never have sold out my faith and the son of Ali. Oh, the one who overlooks all, in front of you my sins are small. Come to me when you hear me call. Tell me you love me when I fall. Ya Safina Tan Najat, accept me. Ya Safina Tan Najat, accept me.
Ya Safina Tan Najat,
Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat. I've made my way, I swear by your mother that I have changed. I've made my way, I swear by your mother that I have changed. I'm on my knees, lift me up, tell me that you accept me. I'm on my knees, lift me up, tell me that you accept me. I came late, I am sorry, I left you alone and thirsty. A dark heart, yet I wish to give my life. Will you purify me? Every sinner here is welcome. We all serve you in your kingdom. Your ship always fits everyone. Shine on me, O merciful sun. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat. Keep me away from the world of Yazid and Muawiyah. Keep me away from the world of Yazid and Muawiyah. I separate from the gold and the bribes of Umayyah. I separate from the gold and the bribes of Umayyah. For more wealth they will all raise, but fire is what they chase. For more wealth they will all raise, but fire is what they chase. I don't want any of it, just a smile on Hussein's face. I don't want any of it, just a smile on Hussein's face. Oh, my love and interceder, gate to heaven for believers. Your mother, I'll never leave her. When I die, I hope to see her. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Accept me, Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. Ya Safinat al-Najat, accept me. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah. Muhammadan Rasulullah, Aliyan Waliyullah. نود علي يا مظهر العجائب نود علي تجد هنا لك في النوائب كل هم وغم سينجلي كل هم وغم سينجلي بعظمتك بعظمتك بنبوتك بنبوتك بولايتك علي 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 يا رب الحسين بحق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة يا رب الحجة بحق الحجة اشف صدر الحجة بظهور الحجة صلوات
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاري والوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتم عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وأمري لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله قصدت حرمك أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وإلى أموات الحاضرين والحاضرات ومن مات على الإيمان رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Okay, inshallah, thank you for joining us tonight. Inshallah, tonight also the food is going to be to go. If you would like to eat it here, that's okay. You could pick it up and come back inside. Also, please do not forget to recite the Fatiha and a salawat for the sponsors of tonight and their marhumin. Hajj Fida Hussein and Hajja Bidan Qadr Bahai. Please, as well as the families of Jbeili and Bahsoon, inshallah. Please don't forget them in your du'as and recite a Surah Fatih for them with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.